chapter number 3. My wife even left. Well, I thought you left. She said, I hear him enough. We were in Idaho. She volunteered as much as she could to work in the nursery. Snows are in Pensacola this weekend, if you probably didn't guess that already. But they're down visiting Brianna, and Lord willing, they'll be back sometime today. Jonah chapter number 3, I want to begin reading in verse number 1. Just want to focus our attention, fix our thoughts upon one phrase in verse number 1. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And I want us to fix our thoughts upon that phrase this morning, the second time. And I want to talk to us about second chances this morning. And I want to share some truths from Jonah chapter 3 this morning regarding what that phrase means to us. What does that phrase mean? What did it mean to Jonah? What does it mean to us today? And I'm thankful. Here's the truth. When God tells us to do something, we ought to do it the first time, shouldn't we? We used to tell our kids when they were little, look, first time, I shouldn't have to tell you again. First time, you do it the first time. I have to tell you again, there are going to be consequences. You ought to do it the first time. But I am thankful that we have a merciful God. And He gives us second chances. And that's what He did for Jonah this morning, not this morning, but in the book of Jonah. And so that's what I want us to fix our attention on this morning, is that phrase, the second time. And I want to show us three truths from that phrase and from these first four verses in Jonah 3 this morning about second chances, about the second time. Okay, let's pray and ask God to help us this morning, fix our attention, calm our hearts, and fix our attention upon His Word this morning. Father, thank You again for the opportunity to be here. Thank You for Your Word. And Father, we know and we have a head knowledge this morning that whenever You tell us to do something, we ought to do it the first time. Jonah should have gone the first time. We know that. And he suffered the consequences for not going the first time. And that's what the whale is all about. That's what the big fish is all about. That's what Jonah chapter 2 is all about. But Father, we are grateful this morning that You give us second chances. And Lord, I don't know if there might be someone in here this morning that You have told them to do something. And Father, You're giving them another opportunity this morning. And so Lord, I pray that You would remind us and teach us today. Father, help us not to take advantage of second chances. And because eventually those chances do run out. Father, help us not to presume upon second chances. Help us to be obedient the first time. But Father, when we do fail, and Father, when we repent and get things right, Father, help us to take full advantage of that second chance. And so, Lord, teach us that today. I pray that You'd help every Sunday school class, every Sunday school teacher. Father, help Brother Roma in the home builders class. Father, I pray that You would help Mrs. K with the little ones, Miss Patty and Miss Megan with the primaries and the juniors. I pray that You'd help the Fries with the teens this morning. Father, I pray that You'd use them to place the Word of God into the hearts of our young people and our young adults and our young couples. I pray that we would be very clear with Your Word, very truthful, very plain and very concise with Your Word today. And I pray that You just teach us, strengthen us today from what we hear from Your Word. And we'll thank and praise You for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me give you our first thought this morning. The first thing that we see, what happens or what do we gain from second chances? The first thing I want us to see is the message that is declared in second chances. What is God declaring to us when He gives us a second chance? What was He declaring to Jonah when He gave Jonah the second chance? Again, I know we're skipping context and I am assuming that we know Jonah 1, that we know what happens there. God comes and tells Jonah to go, and Jonah says no, and the great fish swallows him. In Jonah chapter 2, Jonah repents. Jonah gets things right with God. The fish spits him out on the dry land, verse number 10 says. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So what is God declaring to us? What is the message that is declared when God gives us a second chance? Well, He's declaring several things. First of all, He is saying, "I have a word for you." And that's what the Bible says in verse number 1, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah." He says, "I have a word for you," the word of the Lord. Now, by the way, let me say this. God's word to Jonah didn't change from the first time to the second time. When we say no the first time, God doesn't come the second time and say, "Oh, bless your heart, I'll make it easier on you this time." That's not what happened. The word that God gave to Jonah the first time is the exact word that He gives to him the second time. The word that God gave to the nation of Israel in Numbers 13 and 14 about going into the promised land was exactly the same then as it was 40 years later when Joshua took the nation of Israel into the promised land. It was still the same. His word doesn't change. But what is the message that is declared in Second Chances? The first message is simply this: I have a word for you. I have a word. I have something I want you to listen to. I have a commission for you. I have a work for you to do. And that's the second thing. The first message is, I have a word for you. The second message is, I have a work for you to do. I have a word for you. I have a word for you to listen to again. I've already said it once, but I'm coming to give it to you again. And the reason I am is because I have a work for you to do. And I am thankful that because God has something for us to do, He is constantly seeking after us. And when we fail and when we say no, God comes back and says, "Hey, I still have something for you to do." And we may say no again, and God comes back and He says, "I have something for you to do." He says in verse number 2, the word that He says is, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city." And what was the work that God had for Jonah to do? Preach. He says, "And preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." When God comes back the second time, when we get things right with Him, and He comes and says, "Okay, I still have a work for you to do," that work is still the same. Again, the word was still the same. The work was still the same. God had given Jonah a commission in chapter 1, and Jonah said no. And by the way, Jonah went the exact opposite direction, didn't he? And the Bible said he went down to the ship, and the Bible said that he paid the fare thereof. Here's the thing this morning. We will pay the consequences for saying no to God. But gratefully, He comes back and He gives Jonah a second opportunity. Hey, what is it in your life this morning that God has been knocking on your heart's door and He has a word for you because He has a work for you to do, but you've been telling Him no? May not be anything big. Hey, it may not be going to Nineveh. Many believe that Jonah wouldn't go to Nineveh or didn't go to Nineveh the first time because they were brutal people. Many believe that his parents died at the hands of the Ninevites and was the very reason why he didn't want to go. They were very savage people. They would kill the enemy, and they would cut off their heads and put their heads on stakes and put them up in the city as a warning. Don't try this. Don't you try to come and defeat us. And so many believe that's why Jonah didn't want to go. But no matter the reason, God said, "Jonah, I want you to go." Can you imagine God calling Jonah to go to the very people and preach to them so that they could get saved, so that they could repent, to the very people? If it's true, and again, I'm not trying to add to the Scriptures, but just saying many believe this, history gives this inclination that his parents died at the hand of the Ninevites And God is asking him to go back and to preach to them. That would be hard, wouldn't it? But God told him to go. What is it that God's telling you to do this morning? It may not be anything big. It may simply just be, hey, have your quiet time with me. Pray. Read God's Word. Go to your next door neighbor and speak to them. I don't know, but God gives us second chances. And what is the message that is declared in that second chance? I have a word for you. I have a work for you to do. Thirdly, I have a will for your life. I have a word for you, Jonah. And it's the same word I gave you in chapter number 1. And the word is, arise. I have a work for you to do. Preach unto it the preaching. Notice this, that I bid thee. I have a will for your life, Jonah. What is the message declared in second chances? Because here's the truth. If God didn't care, He would. And if God didn't have a work for us to do, if He didn't have a will for us to do, He would just say, okay, I'm not going to come back and give you the second chance. By the way, when our kids fail, moms and dads, when our kids fail and they get things right and we discipline and they get things right and we come back and we give them the same word again, why is that? Because we desire a specific outcome for them. Why is it that when our kids mess up, we don't just throw them to the side and neglect them? Because I don't believe any of us do that. Because we desire a certain outcome for them, and because God desires a certain outcome for us, He comes back the second time, He comes back the third time, He comes back the fourth time, and He says, look, I have a word for you, I have a work for you to do, because I have a will for your life. We see the message declared in second chances. The message declared in second chances. I fully believe with all my heart that when I was in college, I believe God was working on my heart to go into the ministry. And I didn't totally surrender at that time because I felt, and not because I was necessarily being rebellious or saying, no, I don't feel that way at all, but I felt like, well, this is what God wants me to do. And I believe there were times He was knocking on my door and wanted me to do something different. And I'm thankful He kept coming back. And I'm thankful He kept giving me more chances. But what is the message that is declared in second chances? I have a work for you to do. I have a will for your life. I'm not done with you yet. Now, you're stubborn, but I'm not done with you yet. I have something for you to do. So, number one, the message declared in second chances. Number two, and we've already spoken about this, we see the mercy displayed in second chances. Number one, we see the message declared, but number two, we see the mercy displayed in second chances. Second chances display God's merciful long-suffering. Second chances display God's merciful long-suffering. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse number 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept Thy word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. That was Jonah. Jonah went astray. Jonah went the opposite direction, but God afflicted him, didn't He? God disciplined him. God chastened him. And Psalm 119:67 says, but now have I kept Thy word. Second chances display God's merciful long-suffering. By the way, not just to Jonah, but to the Ninevites. Jonah, I have a work for you to do because look, I have just as much mercy for the Ninevites as I have for you. And so His long-suffering with Jonah was also His long-suffering with the Ninevites. Because He wanted Jonah to go preach to the Ninevites. Why does God keep coming and knocking on our door and saying, hey, that person I've been trying to get you to speak to, trying to get you to talk to, I still want you to go talk to them. Why is that? Because He's long-suffering. What does 2 Peter 3:9 say? It says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, But is what? But is long-suffering. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jonah was to go and preach to the Ninevites. He was going to go warn them. By the way, look at verse number 3. What was the message? So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Notice that. According to what? To the word of the Lord. According to the word of the Lord. What is the message declared in Second Chances? I have a word for you. I have a work for you to do. I have a will for your life. And the Bible says, according to the word of the Lord, God told him what to preach. And the Bible says, now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You say, Pastor, did he preach anything else? I don't know. But I do know that's what he preached. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Because of the sin, because of your sin, if you don't get right in 40 days, Nineveh is going to be overthrown. Second Chances display God's merciful long-suffering. Maybe God's calling someone to the mission field and an individual continues to say no, and God is being long-suffering with that individual, but He's also being long-suffering with that mission field that He wants that individual to go to. The message declared in Second Chances, the mercy displayed in Second Chances. Second Chances display God's merciful long-suffering, but Second Chances display God's merciful love. Look at chapter 4, verse number 11. Displays God's merciful love. And I think many times as Christians, we really ought to be ashamed of ourselves how many times God has to come back and knock on our doors. He's so merciful to us. Chapter 4 and verse number 11. We know what happens in chapter 4 or in chapter 3. We'll get to that in just a moment. God delivers the Ninevites. They repent. They get right. Chapter 4, Jonah's angry. The Bible says in verse 1, it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. Notice what God tells him in verse 11 of chapter 4. He says, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons? 120,000 children is what he's speaking of. Notice what he says there. 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. He's talking about children. He's talking about little ones that they don't understand their right hand from their left hand yet. And he says, Jonah, as merciful and loving and long-suffering as I have been to you, shouldn't I do the same to Nineveh? Jonah, why are you so angry? Jonah, why are you so disappointed? Jonah, why are you so displeased that I would show mercy upon this great city? You see, Second Chances display God's merciful long-suffering. It displays God's merciful love. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, but God, who is rich... We've read these verses so many times because they're so good. The Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy... who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. The mercy displayed in Second Chances. It displays His merciful long-suffering, His merciful love. Matthew 23:37 says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. He said that. How often would I have done that? But the last phrase of that verse, it says, and ye would not. How often would I have gathered you under my wings as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings? How often would I have gathered my children together? And He said, you would not. How often does God want to gather us together under His wings and protect us and show us His love and His long suffering? But we won't. We won't allow Him to do it. The message declared in Second Chances, the mercy displayed in Second Chances, displays His long suffering, it displays His love. Romans 5:8, we know the verse. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Second Chances. Dear friend, I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning. I mean, I know who I'm speaking to, but I don't know who God's trying to speak to this morning. He's giving you second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance, and 100 chances. And He has something specific that He desires for you to do. Maybe it's just He wants you to simply be obedient. Maybe it's not going to Nineveh. Maybe it's not going to a place. It's not necessarily an area of service per se. It's just simply He's knocking on your door saying, hey, when will you be obedient? When will you obey my word? When will you do what I have asked you to do? When will you line up with my word and my precepts? And He's given us chance after chance after chance. Because He loves us. How many chances do we give our children? Why do we do it? Because we love them. Let me ask you this. I want you to think. Many of you have already raised children. Some of you are raising children right now. But when you're trying to raise and train children, and they wouldn't obey, and they wouldn't do what they were told, and time again you come back, and time again there has to be discipline, and time again there has to be chastening. Doesn't that grieve your heart? Sure it does. God is no different. How often do we grieve His heart? How often do I grieve His heart? Because He gives chance after chance after chance. And we continue to say no. How often do we grieve the heart of God? We see the message declared. We see the mercy displayed. But thirdly, we see the masses delivered because of second chances. We see the message declared in second chances. We see the mercy displayed in second chances. And thirdly, we see the masses delivered because of second chances. We read Jonah 3 and 4. The Bible says, so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God. It's pretty quick to the point, isn't it? Doesn't talk about how many altar calls they had. Doesn't talk about how many converts Jonah had. Just said the Ninevites believed God. Jonah preached. Jonah gave them the word from the Lord. And the Bible says, so the people of Nineveh believed God. And by the way, these were heathen people. It's not the nation of Israel. It's not God's chosen people. The Bible said these people believed God and proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne. He laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands." Notice the question in verse number 9. Who can tell? This is the Ninevites. This is the king. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from His fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that He had said that He would do unto them. And He did it not. The masses delivered because of second chances. Jonah seized the opportunity. Jonah spread the message. And Nineveh was spared. The masses delivered because of second chances. What is it? What is it that God is... What is the word that God has come and given to you? What is the work that God wants you to do? By the way, what is the word that He's given to Maranatha Baptist Church? What is the work that He's wanting us to do that we're not doing right now? Because there are masses of people that He wants to deliver, but He wants to use us in that work. God didn't have to use Jonah, did He? Now, I hear people say it, well, you know what, it doesn't matter if you do it or not. God will get someone else to do it. I don't like that thinking. Because if God has asked you to do it, He expects you to do it. And we ought not justify not doing it by saying, well, if I don't do it, God will get someone else to do it. Well, He just might do that, but He asked you to do it. When we ask our children to do something, if I ask Jonathan to do something and he won't do it, I don't say, well, Josh, hey, come here, you do this. No. I ask you to do it. I'm not going to get your brother to do it. I'm not going to get your sister to do it. I ask you to do it. And if I ask Paige to do something and she doesn't do it, I'm not going to say, well, boys, hey, come here. She won't do it, so y'all go do it. No. Expect her to do it. And when God asks us to do something, can He get someone else to do it? Absolutely. By the way, can He do it Himself? Sure He can. But He wants us to have the joy and the blessing of being able to work in His work. To be successful in His work. And He said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, that great city. I want you to preach to it. Jonah said, nope, not going. By the way, he was so cold-hearted about it, he got in the ship and went to sleep. That's how cold-hearted he was about it. Not even convicted at all that he had told God no. Went to sleep. And God came back the second time. We know what the Bible says. I mentioned this even last week, I believe. The Bible says in Jonah 1, verse 17, now the Lord had done what? Had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. All right, Jonah. You're not going to do it. There's going to be some consequences. Jonah repented. He got right in chapter 2. He comes back in chapter 3. And the Bible says that God comes. And the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. How many times has the word of the Lord come to us? 2? 10? Take our shoes off and... 20. He's merciful. But He does so because He has a purpose. That's because He has a work for us to do. He has a will for our life. And it could very well be that there are individuals that He wants us to deliver. And that's why He keeps coming back the second time. The third time. The 100th time. Number 1, we see the message declared. What is the message? I have a word for you. I have a work. I have a will for your life. Number two, we see the mercy displayed. Long-suffering. Love. That's what's displayed in Second Chances. Mercy. Long-suffering. Love. Every Second Chances. By the way, we preached a message several months ago, failure is not final. Spoke about John Mark. He went on the missionary journey with Paul and he had to come back, or he didn't have to come back. He left and went back home. But that wasn't it for him, was it? You read later in the New Testament, what does the Apostle Paul say about John Mark? He is profitable to me for the ministry. Failure is not final. Because God gives second chances and He gives third chances. The mass is delivered. That may be the very reason why He continues to give chance after chance after chance. So what is it this morning? Is it something God's been working in your heart to do? Is it simply He just wants you to be obedient? There's a lot of Christians on October the 24th, 2021, right now today, that God just simply wants them to be obedient. And He keeps coming back and He keeps giving another chance and another chance and another chance just because they're not being obedient. Hey, be obedient. I've given you another chance. Do you need another great fish? How many great fishes does He have to bring into our lives before we'll be obedient? How many nights do we have to spend in the belly of the whale before we become obedient? But He doesn't do that for our harm. He does that because He has a purpose for us. And He has a work for us. Second chances. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Father, thank You for Your Word this morning. Thank You for what it teaches us. Father, again, I know who I'm speaking to, but I don't know who You're trying to speak to this morning. And Father, I don't know the individual that maybe You've been knocking on their heart's door for weeks and months and maybe even possibly years. And they've continued to say no in maybe a specific area that You want them to ministry in, or maybe a specific area that You just simply want their obedience in. And Father, I pray that today was just another reminder. Father, You do that. You give us second chances for a reason. It's not because You're trying to hassle us. It's not because You're trying to browbeat us into submission. It's because You have a work for us to do. And You have a will and a purpose for our lives. And may we this morning just simply submit to it. Father, we love You today. Father, help us in the hour to come. Father, I pray that You'd help every aspect of the service be with Brother Steve as he leads the choir and the congregationals. Father, I pray for the Thatchers as they minister in junior church this morning. Father, I pray that You would do a work in our midst today. And we'll thank and praise You for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.